Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It feels so good to be back on the airwaves after a very long hiatus. John Orlando right here on the PVD cast, the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirectly from Providence, Rhode Island via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Man, it has been an absolute hellish few weeks. When I'm talking about this podcast, I think that I alluded to it on my last short, aka condensed, episode. It's been hard to get folks to come on. They've said yes, and then they no show, or they cancel, or whatever, on top of the holiday of Thanksgiving coming out, and then I had some computer issues, and the website was all messed up, and oh man. But you know what? That's all behind me. I'm ready to go. I'm set to go. I have a new episode, number 57, ready to come at you. You know, but I am going to address real quick that, you know, this is a learning process for me. I've said that many times on this podcast, and I learned a very valuable lesson talking about just a few seconds ago about how jacked up the website was. Apparently, there was a particular software update I needed for PVDcast.com, and I... not thinking, didn't read any reviews, just downloaded it and messed everything up. And it pretty much eliminated every download link that was up there. And I spent like 4 hours getting pretty much every single one of those download links reinstalled on the website. And it looks like everything's working fine. I still have a couple of independent episodes like 42, 43, 45 that I have to fix a little bit because there's something wrong with the file, but... man, 4 hours of my life that I'm never going to get back, but I learned a very valuable lesson from now on when it comes to my baby, PVDcast.com. I'm going to read some reviews. I'm going to be smart about it and not just go, oh yeah, click, you know. It's like the terms of agreement. I mean, whoever reads those things, right? You just, oh yeah, click, you know. But this time it bit me in the rear end, and lesson learned, man, lesson learned. But all right, with that, I'm very proud to talk about this particular episode, number 57. It's my guest is a man that I've wanted to have on for several months. He is, of course, the handlebar haberdasher, Marion Fontaine. Now, I'm trying something new. It was actually Fontaine himself who told me, John, have you ever thought about using Skype as a tool to do podcasts with? And I said, no. You know, he mentioned that the last time that I saw him, which was in Coshocton for an OCW event a couple months ago. And I said, I'll give it a try. So that was another thing I was doing. I was researching it because, you know, obviously it's a piece of technology that you can use to talk to people all around the world. But I had to find a easy, user-friendly style of software to record the conversations with. I found that. And so here we go. We're going to take a stab at this. You're going to hear my very first ever long distance podcast, if you will, because Marion Fontaine is out in Chicago, which we'll talk about how he ended up there and talk about the city of Chicago a little bit. And we'll, of course, talk about old wrestling, which he is the creator of that particular brand of wrestling. And, you know, you've heard me many times say that that I truly think it's not only innovative, not only is it super creative, but it was just, it's just a whole lot of fun. End of story. So you'll have to let me know what you think. I think it sounds pretty darn good, but I am a little bit biased, but let me know. With that, I'm going to kind of set it up here that I'm going to go to a quick break. When I come out of that break, I will be joined by Marion Fontaine. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. And then we'll go to another break, and then we'll come back. And I will wrap things up and give you Orlando's face for this episode. So let's not delay any longer. Let's get right into that first break. And on the other side, Marion Fontaine. Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North, and you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD cast where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this installment of the PVD Cast. I am joined by the man that they call the Handlebar Haberdasher, Marion Fontaine. Mr. Fontaine, how are you this evening?
I am fine as frog's hair. How about yourself?
I am doing fair to middling.
Oh, okay, nice.
Nice. This is going to be a podcast of just old-timey phrases being thrown back and forth, right?
Yep. Let's see how many we can get through.
Well, anyways, you know, it's no secret. I've wanted to have you on since, like, August. And finally, through the miracle of technology, we're trying it here.
Yep.
So hopefully if things go smoothly, we won't have any issues. But nonetheless, let's go ahead, as I always start off every single one of these podcasts with somebody that's involved in this wacky world of wrestling. I gotta ask, how'd you get started in wrestling?
Oh man, well, I mean, if you go way, way back, it really just started with me and a bunch of friends wrestling in the backyard, basement, all that stuff. Kind of how I think most people do, or at least I think most normal wrestlers do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you don't have, like, a background of messing around with your friends in the backyard, then it's kind of odd to me that you didn't start that way. You know, it's like, yeah, I just kind of just started training in it. But, yeah, I you know.
Yeah, right, yeah. I've not run across too many people that have said, I just decided to try it. Like,
right,
you know, you have to be a fan, I think,
right.
You know.
I don't know who said it, but you always kind of equate it to, like, football or anything like that. Like, if you wanted to be like John Elway, then you would go out, like, with a bunch of friends, or you'd play in high school or something like that, or you'd just, you know, throw the football around because you'd want to be that. So, like, me and my friends, we wanted to be like Rob Van Dam, so that was our, you know, easiest interpretation. So, from that, I went to school, went to college, and then ended up training while I was in school at Bowling Green, and that was at Mega Championship Wrestling in Elyria. And so then from there, the career started. So I started training there, I think, around 2004 was when I went up there. There's a few shows that I did before that, but I didn't really have much business being in the ring. But those are kind of fun retrospective shows to see pretty early on. We actually lied about our age to get on the shows. So
oh, really?
Yeah, I think the first show I ever wrestled at in, like, you know, it was in Beachland Ballroom. It's a popular venue on, like,
oh, East Cleveland. Yeah, I'm familiar with, yeah.
The very first show I did was at Beachland Ballroom, and I think I turned 17 about 2 months before, something like that. So we lied. We said we were 18 when I was just freshly 17, lied about our age, got on the show. But, yeah, other than that, since 2005 is when I've been in and around the sport of professional wrestling.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit and refresh my memory. In Elyria, Mega Championship Wrestling, who was the promoter there?
Jeff Traxler.
Okay. So I gotcha.
Yep, Jeff's been, I'm trying to think. I want to say around 99 or 2000. Well, this, you know, actually this Saturday, well, Saturday, December 20th, they're having their 15th anniversary show that I'll be a part of. So, that, you know, it's cool to see that promotions have, you know, especially the independent, you know, smaller regional area, have been around that long. So, and Jeff's been there at the helm for that whole stretch, so God bless him.
Yeah, yeah. Now, was he in charge of training as well, or who was in charge of your training, per se, at Mega?
No, Jeff wasn't. Chris Cole had trained for a good amount of years, even, you know, like classes before me and then after me. I'm not sure who's at the helm now, Mm-hmm. I'll when I'm home over Christmas, I'm going to be doing like a guest trainer spot there, so that'll be fun. We'll get to see how what kind of students they have going up now. But yeah, it was Chris Cole, it was a lot of fun training with him because he wasn't too many years older than me, and I don't know, we just kind of connected from the get go. So,
well, and he's quite a colorful character, if I remember correctly. Because I believe that Chris Cole also worked a little bit of MEWL,
yeah,
as well, yeah. And he was on a few shows where I was working up there, and he's a colorful character, man. You gotta admit that, right?
He totally was. He was colorful and as much as he was like really tough too. So it's like he could turn on that colorful character that could be, you know, like best bud, but then like training with him and learning the ropes, he was very like, this is how we're going to do things. Listen to me or otherwise you're going to, yeah. It wasn't always easy up there. I mean, you know, I think for a lot of people training shouldn't be the easiest thing. It should be challenging. And, there was a lot of just different drills and things like that he would invoke, that were just like, oh yeah, I never really thought of something like this way. Like I remember one time we just kind of worked around just body parts that you wouldn't normally work in wrestling, and you would base kind of a match off that. And it was like, I think one time it went to the extreme of like all he did was like work parts of my face or something like that, which was just kind of funny. So.
All right. So from there, when did in 2005 is when you actually started in the biz. You started with Mega?
Yeah, the first shows that I was doing was with Mega Championship Wrestling in and around like Elyria and Lorain, mm-hmm. Ohio, which is, you know, half hour west out of Cleveland. But yeah, and I started not under the Marion Fontaine moniker.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to say, yeah. What did you start as?
Well, I was a luchador character named Doble, which is just W in Spanish, but it sounded cool. You know, it's a cool little name, W. And it was an easy kind of like hand sign to throw up. You just throw up like a W.
And of course, you could be sponsored by Sesame Street.
Right, exactly. Always, this week's letter was always W. So yeah, the funny thing about that whole situation is I did it for a while, and it's kind of funny to look back and think, like, to put me under a mask just based on kind of my facial reactions and the emotion that, you know, I kind of invoke. I think, like, you know, my expressions are one of my strong points in the ring as far as, like, being a performer is. So it's kind of funny to think for a good stretch or the start I was under a mask. I think it was probably just because I was really tiny and could, you know, fly a little bit. So like, yeah, you know what? We need a luchador. Let's just put a mask on him. So
I laugh because, you know, I know for a fact that happened in OCW. So I'm just,
right, yeah.
You know, oh, we need a luchador. We got a small guy. Throw him in a mask. That'll work. Yep. Yeah. So
that's all you need. If you got a mask available and a guy that's kind of small, you can do a head scissors. You're set.
That's it. That's the only
qualifications for a luchador in the Midwest. Yeah. Like, that's all. You know, it's not like, do you speak any kind of different language, you know, or anything like that? Like, nah. You do a head scissors, got a mask, you're tiny, you're good. Good to go.
There you go. There you go. We'll put L in front of whatever name you want, yep. And there you go. Done. Yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
So when did the Marion Fontaine character come? That's a good question, because I think the first time that I remember seeing you was probably PWO. But okay. I know you were around way before that, correct? As Marion Fontaine?
Yeah, the mask character didn't really last too long.
Okay.
If anything, it was maybe like 6 months or so, and it was just kind of me just picking at Jeff, saying, you know, come on, give, you know, I don't want to do this. This isn't kind of my goal. And it's funny, we actually gave the character to another trainee. His name's Tony. He refereed for a good amount of years with like AIW and Mega and all that. We gave the character to him because we kind of had the same body type. And so Doble like was a character after I passed him on.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. Yeah, yeah. He took it and made it his own. So it was kind of cool to see that it was still around. But yeah, the Marion Fontaine thing, just kind of when it came about, it was just a different incarnation than it is now. I mean, I've kind of transformed over the years from different characters. I don't know, to stay fresh and, you know, be a little different. But when I started, I was really just kind of this brash, young, know-it-all kid, and, you know, being my small size, it just lent to being, like, you know, fan-hated that much more, where it's like, you know, I'm over-exerting all this, you know, all this confidence, but it's in a guy that's got a frame of, like, 160 pounds. So, you know, when I was first doing that heel stuff, I would have the announcer give, like, a couple accolades, like, he was the arm double and over the top, or, like, he, you know, I mean, you know, things like that. So when I was, you know, when I was first starting to debut, and, like, there were fans that hadn't really seen me before, they would, you know, give these long list of things, these crazy accomplishments that I would never be able to do. And then I would come out, and it would just be instant, like, who is this guy? So that was kind of, you know, the first incarnation of Marion Fontaine, the character, was that. So,
when did you start branching out? Because obviously, you know, as I mentioned, I first saw you, I believe, on PWO. So when did you start branching out in the Cleveland scene? And actually, I mean, you could school me on this, because I'm kind of a little bit ignorant how the Cleveland scene works. Uh-huh. Is it just, you know, because you know Jeff Traxler, that you can get in with JT Lightning, that you can get in with, you know, I can't remember some of the other promoters up there. Now I'm drawing a blank. But you get what I mean? Like, is it like a fraternity up there where if you're in good with one particular promotion, you can go between the others? Or is it, no, you got to work your way into, you know, AIW and CAPW at that time and whatnot?
Sure. Yeah, it was definitely kind of, you know, you have to work your – it was almost, you know, like I don't know if it's like this in every region, but, you know, working your way up the ladder. I mean, when I started for Jeff, you know, Jeff has always had kind of his crew, and then back in those days, JT Lightning had his crew, and then he also had, you know, names coming in a lot more than Jeff would, actually. JT was kind of the place in the area that would actually, you know, consistently have certain names booked here and there. Jeff relied more on local guys for the most part, or like around Ohio or whatnot, but JT would always do Jeff shows, either, you know, running the ring or like being on the show. So to get to Cleveland All Pro, which was, you know, the next step, because that was, you know, a big deal. Turner's Hall was, you know, there were crowds that were just packed all the time for JT on those Sunday afternoon shows. So you were hoping that JT would take a look at you at Jeff's shows. And that was when, you know, AIW started in 2005, and, you know, at that point, they were just still an early promotion. They hadn't been, you know, they had the crazy following that they do now online and all that. So it pretty much was kind of, you know, getting that look from JT. And then once you kind of got that credibility and were on JT shows in that spotlight, then came Sports Time Ohio. And then it kind of got even more expanded, because then, you know, Sports Time Ohio was viewed, you know, all over. I mean, mainly Ohio and all that, but, you know, if you had DirecTV, you could get it all over the place. So then once that Sports Time Ohio hit, then we got even more notoriety and kind of like, oh, these guys are, you know, on these shows, it's on TV. And then, you know, then started to, you know, roll, like, we would go down to MEWL, we'd go down to Mule, we'd go to other places, go to Toledo and all that stuff. So it just kind of ran from there. And other promotions like Hybrid Wrestling, which was out of like the Fremont Sandusky area, that was another spot that did a lot of great things too. That was just like a different, you know, there wasn't much wrestling in that area either. Mm-hmm. So that was another one that kind of like got our name out there. They were one of the first ones to start putting a lot of stuff like music videos on YouTube before, like, it was kind of like common.
Okay.
So that was another one that just like made it branch even more.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what's some of your fond memories of those early years when you were with Omega? Going back to that, sorry,
yeah.
we're all over the place here. But
oh no, that's
fine. Going back to that, what were some of your fondest memories?
Oh man,
in your early career.
Yeah, it was usually driving with Ricky Shane Page. I mean, back then he was known as Christian Faith, because he was kind of in like the class before me training.
Okay,
and you know, we did a lot of like fun little road trips together all around Ohio. Him and his old partner, Vincent Nothing. You've met him before. Isn't wrestling anymore, but yeah, we'd do shows. We'd go down to Indianapolis too for IPWA. Those were like fun. The first kind of like fun long drives that we would do. I don't know. I still to this day try and have the most fun at shows where. Even after doing it for 9 or 10 or however many years, I still kind of get that little glee of just like being able to perform in front of people, no matter like the size or amount of people in the audience. But, wrestling at some of those like old VFW halls for like Mega or like places that I haven't been to in years always are kind of like really cool to look back and reflect, even if there's any like video footage and, doing like some of the smaller like road trips that made it feel like a lot longer, like going down to Alliance, which was like, I don't know, an hour and a half or something like that, made it feel like a lot different. You know, it was like, oh, we're going down to Alliance, you know, going down to Alliance is a big deal. So like doing those like road trips and things like that were a lot of fun, you know?
Well, speaking of Vincent Nothing, didn't he go to MMA? He started doing MMA, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah. Vince and his brother Dominic both went into mixed martial arts, and I don't think they both don't compete actively anymore.
Okay.
But Vince actually has his own training center called Fit Legit in North Royalton, and that's actually where inside that where he does a lot of athletic training. Ricky Shane Page, he has his wrestling school where he's training students.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, called the Roaring Elbow Academy. So like, okay. Yeah, it's a pretty nice, cool setup. He's got his ring in there. Ricky's got the ring in there, and then Vince is also training people outside of it. So it's a cool thing. So they're still connected.
Yeah, that is really cool. That is wow. All right, man. Well, you know that's awesome. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So all right, let's go back even further. Go all the way back. We said it before. We're all marks.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, if you go down into my parents' basement, you can tell that just for the sheer fact of how many VHS tapes of wrestling that I've bought over the years and still will collect.
I have them proudly displayed in my living room, much to the embarrassment of my girlfriend. She's like, can we just get rid of these? I'm like, no! This is the PWA Lord of the Ring compilation! What are you going to watch it on, John? I still have a VCR. It's not hooked up,
right,
though,
yeah.
Because modern televisions don't have anything.
So, right.
You know, I'm like, man, it's the VCR from like 1999. But,
okay.
You know, yeah, there's no, I'm like, I can't connect it, but.
Right.
She's like, why don't we get rid of it? No, no. Eventually, they'll figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. Yep. And then they'll get retro and vintage points, and then the markup will be crazy for it, and then you'll be, yeah, back in business.
Exactly. Well, anyway, who did you enjoy as a kid growing up? Like, who were your idols?
I feel like a lot of people will say this. And I'm in that generation where, you know, a lot of people, you know, Hulk Hogan was it. You know,
yeah.
Hulk Hogan was it. And as I grew up, because, you know, I was born in 1985, so then I have, like, you know, glimpses of him, you know, 5, 6 years old of this, you know. Everyone was huge, obviously. These guys were, like, you know, mammoth, like, mythological creatures almost to me. And that's why I think kind of the generation of wrestling, like, now in my age group, is it's cool to see guys succeed because we all grew up watching the same wrestlers and that same mindset. And then, you know, as I grew up and, you know, the Attitude Era started to roll in. I was always really fond of, you know, like Chris Jericho's, the Shawn Michaels, but even Shawn Michaels from as far back as the Rockers. I still love watching all stuff Rockers to this day. A lot of the wrestling that I've done in the past couple of years has been tag team wrestling with just all kinds of different opponents, or I mean, all kinds of different partners. So it's fun to look back and kind of like find things, you know, from the Rockers back in the 80s and 90s and try and pick and use some of their strategies and mindset and stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. What from the Rockers did you quote to borrow, end quote?
Marty Jannetty I always liked more for some reason because I didn't feel bad, but I was like, you know what? I want to like Marty Jannetty. I'm going to watch it a little bit more. There's like some Marty Jannetty does this, like, backslide roll-up thing that's really weird. He's done it in a couple matches that I don't see, like, anyone do. So that was one thing that I did take from Marty Jannetty. But also, too, a lot of the same things where, like, just sequencing where, like, Michaels and Jannetty are doing the same thing at the same time where you don't see too many tag teams doing.
Okay. So,
you know, it'll just, like, they would do kind of, like, even simple stuff. You know, double hip toss, but then, like, another guy would come into the ring, and then they would hit something in with a double, like, dropkick or something like that. So a lot of, like, things in sequence, one after the other. And it's, you know, not taking exactly that, but seeing, like, how I could put a little nice little spin onto it. Although I will say, all the times I teamed up with Jock Sampson, I didn't really look to the Rockers.
Because you looked for power and glory, right? You went and watched old Hercules and Paul Roma. You were like, this is it, clearly.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for.
I won't even ask who would be Hercules in that tandem and who would be Paul Roma.
Well, we'd always do paper, rock, scissors beforehand, just to decide. And it always changed.
Well, speaking of tag teams, you have also managed to have a pretty good partner in Jervis Cottonbelly. So, I guess, how did you get hooked up with him as a partner, if I may ask?
It probably all just maybe even started online when the first time I had heard about him. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know if you follow the Chikara universe. I mean, I've been kind of off and on in and out of it because I've, you know, competed in there in the past and kind of more recently. But there's so many characters and so many kind of storylines that are intriguing and come up, and their characters maybe are gone for a while. And the Jervis Cottonbelly character had been gone for a little while. I'm not really sure, you know, where it was, but then had recently returned and, you know, was very, like, active on social media, and there were some videos that he was posting. And over the past couple of years, I've kind of done, you know, the same thing here and there, just kind of vignettes and different things to kind of promote myself differently than most wrestlers do. And I just kind of felt that we clicked and we made contact. And, you know, since then we've been able to team, you know, at Chikara and at Old Wrestling. So, you know, here and there, not as much as I'd like to. I'd like to team with him more, obviously, but it's just getting us in the same area. I'm in Chicago. He's, I believe, on the West Coast now. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He was in Philadelphia area, I believe, but, yeah, he's in the West Coast now. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Chikara, because you've mentioned you've been out there a couple of times. Mm-hmm. In fact, most recently for King of Trios, correct?
Yep.
That's the most recent one. How's the experience of wrestling in Chikara from your perspective?
It's, for me, it's almost the optimum experience, because I feel like as I get older and been around wrestling longer, maybe just getting older in general, I start to sway more towards, like, that PG kind of crowd, because I feel like it allows you to be a little bit more creative in a sense, and those fans at Chikara are so in tune to the product. They, you know, they're very loyal to it and focused to it and driven to it. And they're some of the most, like, unique chants you'll see at a show.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate enough to wrestle at, like, packed houses. I wrestled in Chicago at an auditorium that was, like, sold out. And Jervis and I had wrestled a team of ice cream cones, basically. And we had two kids involved in the match that were almost about ready to get down to fisticuffs. And that was all just kind of improvised. But, you know, like, those are the things that I don't think many other promotions could really get away with, but, like, Chikara will thrive upon, because the fans just love something that much more different. And King of Trios was no different than that. I mean, that place probably had, I don't know, 700 or 800 people. So to be able to perform in front of not only that many people, but that many people that, like, get and understand what Chikara is about, with that, you know, just fun atmosphere and understand the characters, helps even more. I mean, half the time I think in my match at one of the King of Trios was I had a broom in hand and had a sweet chant. So, you know, for me, I always tell people I'm as much of a wrestler as I am an actor or a performer. So, like, to be in that light and on that stage is definitely one that I enjoy.
And, you know, I've been told, too, and, you know, I'm not going to say who, but I've been told, mm-hmm, that, you know, the Chikara fans, too, police themselves. you spoke about the PG attitude, and I've heard that they will tell you, hey, no language, what are you doing? And they will police their own to keep it like that. And I think that's pretty awesome, too. I will freely admit, I follow Chikara pretty regularly, but when they took the year off.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? And then you kind of, they're getting back in the swing of it, and I haven't been able to quite catch up as much as I would like to with the product, with the new characters that they have and some of the ones that have returned and whatnot. But overall, the experience for you was awesome. Even backstage, everybody was awesome to be around, and it was a real great experience.
Yeah, I think, and I had said this on a podcast, actually the most recent podcast I did for Angry Marks was the name. They kind of alluded to, you know, people in, you know, certain locker rooms, or in, like, the attitude of certain locker rooms, I guess, or like having kind of a negative connotation. And I just, you know, pretty much clearly explained that, you know, at this point, you know, I'm not a full-time wrestler. So any of the places that I'm choosing to go to, I feel like there's a family connection in the back, where it's like everyone gets along, everyone is just out there to have a good time and have fun, and everywhere that I go or everywhere that you see me, that's the same kind of feeling that I get in the back. So, you know, like in Chikara or in AIW or in AAW, we're having as much fun in the back as the fans are having out watching the show. And I think that's important, you know, for the overall show at hand, for the talent, and, you know, being comfortable and going out there and giving it, you know, their best performance. So yeah, it was great, you know, and for King of Trios, which, you know, has, I think, 16 teams of three, there's a lot of guys in the back. So a lot of guys. So, it was good to see people that I haven't seen in a long while. There's guys I haven't seen in a couple of years that were at the show. Some people I met for the first time. That was really great. So it's a great, great collection of people.
Well, let's talk, if you will, real quickly about you've wrestled around. You've wrestled in Chicago, where you are currently living, and you wrestled throughout Ohio. And I think I heard you said you're going to West Virginia for the first time at the new year, correct? And so you've wrestled all around. What's some of the differences that you see wrestling from area to area?
Ooh, that's a good question. Here's the thing. As much as things are different, I feel like they're a lot of the same.
Okay.
Just, you know, wrestling at, like, smaller promotions, because, oh, man, there are so many small towns that I've wrestled at that I'll probably never go back to. but there's always a common thread there, you know. There's always, like, you know, people that are diehard fans that have, you know, gone to shows, no matter what promotion has ran there in the past couple of years, you know, if there's been a promotion, you know, a different one 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And you're always going to have, you know, certain guys that are from that area that, you know, pull in local people. You're going to have, you know, certain guys that, you know, are new to the scene or anything like that. So I feel like everywhere I go, it's always like a fun, interesting group of people that you'll meet, but at the same time you always find similarities in certain people, in, like, you know, the locker room or even the crowd or the fans. Wrestling in Chicago for a promotion like AAW, what sets that apart is, you know, the crowd. When you're in, like, a large city like Chicago, you're gonna pull from a lot different audience than if I'm wrestling in, like, Coshocton, Ohio.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if anything, you know, the biggest difference is probably the type of match or the type of, you know, performance that you have to go out and deliver to that audience. Because wrestling in Chicago, you're probably going to kind of have a different style than wrestling, you know, in Coshocton. So you've got to, you know, wrestling in these different areas, I think you start to employ not a hybrid style, but you need to know kind of, like, based on where you are, what you think will work, or what, you know, what you've seen, you know, where you're at on the show and things like that.
Right. And oftentimes I think that you can see a match or two on a show that they wrestle above the crowd's head.
Sure.
Where the crowd don't get it. They don't understand it. And I think that that's a smart thing for yourself and for every wrestler out there, is to know your crowd and know what you're doing, and don't try to make it more than it needs to be.
Right, yeah.
You know? So, all right, well, let's talk about old wrestling, because I got to, you know, I've been very vocal on this podcast that I think it's an ingenious idea. I really do. And there's probably people listening going, great, John, you're kissing up. But I that's just the truth, man. I think it's an ingenious idea. So I guess my question that I've been dying to ask, how'd you come up with the idea?
Well, I never really wanted to be a promoter of professional wrestling.
First of all, who wants to be a promoter?
And I say that with a big sigh now after only having 3 shows in. But at the same time, in a lot of ways, it's a one-man workshop. You know, like I'm not afraid to admit that most of everything goes, you know, through me, from, you know, down to the littlest things. You know, packaging orders, all that, you know, all that stuff, making graphics, all that stuff comes down to me. But I guess that's just because I want to be able to have a tight grip on my vision, you know, on the product, and, you know, just want to have as much control in, you know, the creative sense as possible. But I always kind of wanted to do at least one show. Just, you know, it was a goal that I had in professional wrestling. Like, all right, you know, I'd like to run one show, but I knew it had to be different. I always wanted to kind of, you know, I've always preached, my character as being kind of different. You know, I've always wanted to be different in my own right because, you know, I don't have the body of a typical wrestler. So I was like, what other, you know, ways can I be successful in this? And so I kind of thought the same way for a promotion. And, you know, talking with, my girlfriend one night, I had become, you know, this vintage character. I've adapted that for the past couple of years. And so we were just kind of talking and pointing out that, you know, you've got myself, you've got like the Dasher Hatfields, the Sue Jacksons, the, you know, the old timer Jeff Kings, you know, all these people are kind of around. Let's make a collective. Let's bring all these old kind of fashion characters together. And, you know, what better way to do something different than to go back to kind of the early roots of wrestling,
right,
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
In a basic but fun sense. And so that's kind of where it all kind of, you know, spun from there.
And you said you wanted to do one show, but now you've done 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you going to do more, I guess, is the big question. And, you know, how's that, what's your thought process on that? And, you know, obviously it's hectic and whatnot. I'm sure that you get a huge sense of pride, you know, for doing a show like that. But I imagine it's got to be hectic, and, you know, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Are you going to run more shows?
Yeah, we've got more shows.
I don't know why that was so long-winded. I don't know. I just should have just said, are you going to do more? Anyways, so you're going to do more. All right.
Yeah, we're going to do more. I just feel like, you know, where some of the characters are, we've got to have some people. Some of the characters just have to kind of go off into the sunset on more of a better note than where we're at right now. And, you know, people, whether it's like people from and around the Norwalk, Ohio area that have, you know, got a hold of us, or it's like fans from all over. I mean, orders for this year's Extravaganza DVD, you know, they came from Australia, Germany. The UK always has multiple ones. So to think that, you know, people from other countries, you know, enjoy and want to purchase this, you know, is just so cool. And I'm not dead yet, so I guess I've got to keep running more. So, you know, but, you know, that being said, I feel like, you know, it is very niche. You know, it is really unique, and I don't want to run the well dry on it.
Sure.
So I don't know how many years we'll be doing it. You know, I'm not quite certain. You know, a couple every year here and there, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, guys in the back have fun. I know you had fun. You know, the fans have fun.
Yeah, I told you I had a blast. I had an absolute blast, and it was probably the most fun that I've had in a couple of years. And that's not knocking any of my other work that I've done for any other company. Just it was a unique atmosphere up there at Lakewood, Ohio. So, you know, I was a big fan of it. I'll mark out for it.
Yeah, that's so. What I mean. That's the main goal that I've just always tried to, you know, emote is just an experience. I want fans to feel like they're a part of the show. They're a part of something. And the Lakewood show is just an extraordinary example of that. Even if only based on the fact that so many people dressed up and were willing to, like, you know,
yeah.
adopt that old Scott, old style of dress.
But on the other hand, I assume maybe, you know, we're in a world where social media dictates a lot of what goes on in our daily life. I imagine, have you received some negativity about the old wrestling shows, or has it been real minimal and you're like, whatever, block?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a little bit here and there, but, you know, it hasn't been too much, and which is kind of, you know, I guess surprising, knock on wood that it hasn't, you know, been a lot of negative stuff, but I know at the same token that it's not going to be for every wrestling fan out there, which is fine because, you know, like, I always equate it to music. You know, how many genres of music are there? And I only listen to a fraction. So I think wrestling kind of, you know, maybe goes the same way. And, I think wrestling fans are kind of the same way. You've got, you know, like, fans that are maybe into, like, you know, the Japanese strong style that maybe wouldn't be interested into it. But, you know, that being said, I'd like to try and have the show have a different kind of elements that incorporate a little bit of different wrestling. You know, there's still going to be like some lucha libre. There's always going to be comedy, you know, and there's, you know, going to have that brawling style and some other things. So even though we are kind of, you know, old timey and all that, I still try and marry it a little bit of all these styles in there into one place. So.
Gotcha. Well, now, I know that you're living in Chicago, but you are an Ohio boy, so I guess I got to ask, just how did you get out in Chicago?
Work,
was it work-related?
Yeah, it was work. The company that I work for, I'm a graphic designer full-time, so the company that I worked for, I actually interned when I was in college. Had a great internship, was out here for a summer, really enjoyed Chicago. That was kind of a career goal for me to just like get out to Chicago in some aspect at some point. And since I was able to do it in college, I was like, wow, all right, I don't know if I got that out of the way or if I want to go back. So came back, graduated from college, worked in and around Cleveland for a little bit, and then a job came open at the same company. And so that's where I've been for the past 4 years. So it's been a really, really good opportunity for me to get back to the place that I was at before.
Yeah, and that's incredibly lucky because you got to think there's – you know, maybe hundreds if not thousands of people that have come through that particular company, right? You know, over the years, and for them to remember you and bring you back, that's pretty tight, man.
So it's not the biggest. I mean, it's a smaller agency.
Okay.
You know, yeah, but we've actually been growing. So that's really cool to see. You know, it's a big difference from when I was interning there to, you know, the time that I've got there now. So it's really cool to see, and I love Chicago. Chicago, I always tell people, is you still feel like you're part of the Midwest, but it's not an overwhelming city.
Okay.
Yeah, really cool.
Cool. Yeah. All right, well, let's switch gears one more time here real quick before we start wrapping things up. So do you watch a lot of wrestling right now?
The majority of wrestling that I watch is 1970s and 1980s World of Sport British wrestling.
Oh, so that's, like Rollerball Rocco and Johnny Saint and that stuff, really?
There's a guy that actually just stopped selling DVDs. He was doing it for a long while, and he was kind of my source for wrestling DVDs. And we even got to a discussion not too long ago where we were trying to find this obscure wrestler, and he only had like two matches on him. So I'm like trying to delve deep into the vaults. I've got some Johnny Saint stuff. There was, I think maybe it was like 2003 or 4, but I feel like that's when people really were watching Johnny Saint, and there was like a boom of kind of stuff that he was, you know, people would kind of like imitate or mimic from him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other guys that I will watch a lot too, but yeah, Johnny Saint is definitely one just because he was so fluid and, you know, amazing in his wrestling matches. So.
All right, so that's what you're watching. So you're not watching much of the modern stuff, not much of, you know, Raw or anything along those lines.
I will. I did just watch Survivor Series. I mean, I have the network, so I'll tend to at least watch. I don't know why, but I haven't watched NXT as much as I feel like I should. Just based on the reviews that I've seen online and things like that, I always hear great things. And you know, some of those guys I've been on shows with in the past. And I'll try and watch it from time to time. Pay-per-views, I'll always try and catch. Raw and SmackDown, really not so much. You know, TNA, I'll always try and, you know, maybe catch here or there. And I think other than that, I mean, I know, like, New Japan is now going to have, you know, their own show on a network. So, like, things, and there's Lucha Underground, which I watched the first one or two episodes for Matt Cross, obviously. So trying to keep up a little bit. I've always just kind of, I guess I've always stayed kind of old-fashioned in wrestling.
Well, that's okay. I'm with you because, man, I have the network too, and if I get a free moment, I'm not watching, like, modern stuff. I'm hitting World Class Championship Wrestling because that was my favorite, or I'm going way, way back to the old ECW, like, when it was still, you know, Eastern Championship Wrestling. So I'm in the same boat, or I'll throw on.
Because you don't know what, like, because I was going to say, like, if you go back to Eastern, you don't know what you're expecting. You know what I mean?
No.
They're like, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to expect in this hour.
No, you're right. Because the first one I watched, it was like the debut of Sabu, and I'm like, oh, ooh. Right. You know, and I was intrigued. And I got to say, it was not a very good match. After I watched it, I'm like, ugh, really? That was his debut? Ooh, that was kind of ugly. Right. But, you know, I think that's the thing. Like, I watched a lot of the world-class stuff from 83, and I just realized, you know, Mark Lawrence is a terrible ring announcer. I mean, I just, all due respect to him, but he's not very good. And I was like, man, as a kid, I don't remember him being this bad, but man, he just really phones it in a lot. You know?
I think it's harder to suspend your disbelief now when you're older and you go back to some of that stuff. Some stuff I still am able to do, I think, better than others. But if the network home screen came up, you know, and it was like, watch Survivor Series 2014 or watch Survivor Series 1987, I'm obviously going to pick 1987 Survivor Series. I'm like, that is the choice that I'll go with. Like, I'm definitely gonna go Survivor Series 87.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. Though I'll say what you stated, the reviews of NXT. NXT, I think, is the best wrestling out there right now. Yeah. I don't know who's in charge down there, but man, they need to keep going. And I just actually last night watched their takeover show, the R Evolution.
Right.
Yep. Because I'll be honest, I have been totally avoiding the internet because I didn't want to ruin it. Because I didn't get a chance get a chance to watch it Thursday. I was like, I'm not looking up any wrestling news on the internet because it'll spoil it.
Yeah.
And it really was a really good show. It was better than probably any Raw over the last year and a half.
Wow.
It was really good.
I'll have to get into it then, It's, you know, because like guys like Kalisto, you know, who had been, you know, he's from Chicago, so they've done multiple shows together when he was Samurai del Sol. So it's cool to see those guys, and like Sami Zayn. If there was ever, like, I'm going to watch some, like, independent wrestling, if I'm going to look up stuff on YouTube, it was always looking stuff up of him, because he's just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn. And then Neville is, you know, Pac. They're all so incredible. So I'm glad that with the network they've got this platform, you know, to increase their exposure. And it even, like, allows it to, like, have them knock on the door a little bit more. Like, hey, you know, this is what we're doing down here. You know, we're ready. Give us a shot, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I did see the Kevin Owens debut. That's the one match that I did watch because I couldn't resist seeing that. So I did see his the Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens debut. I watched that. So
what did you think of that match? I liked
it. I thought it was fine.
I don't know. I thought for a moment there that CJ Parker maybe wasn't as safe as he could have been. Let's put it that way, in the ring.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about CJ Parker. It blows my mind to think of how many guys they have down in NXT too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's like 70 down there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel as much competition, you know, you think there's going on to get, you know, a spot on TV. The same's probably said for the NXT shows, because it was 70 guys down there. I think, what are they, like, probably a 2 hour? I think they're maybe like a 2 hour special is what the NXT.
Yes, it was 2 hours.
Usually are. So like those guys are vying for those spots too. So I forgot about CJ Parker and his, I'm trying to think of what the best way to name his character is.
He's like
the liberal.
Yeah. Right. Which I guess that, You know, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I don't get that character. Like, I don't understand why you would boo him. he's trying to protect the environment. Like, why would you boo him? And,
you know, because we're America. Who cares about protecting the environment? That's why.
Yeah, that's screw that guy with a Prius.
You get USA chance and booing him too at the same time.
Oh, that would be awesome. Anyways, yeah, he should feud with, they should bring back somebody like a Brody Lee. You know, he's a big truck driver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have all this diesel fuel that I burn every single day. Ha!
Or just have him feud. I mean, is Swagger still with Zeb Coulter? Just have him feud with that, a real American. Like, a real American wouldn't protest. He'd go out and get a job.
Yeah, you hippie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all right, well, with that, it's getting up there about the 50-minute mark. So let's start to wind things down here. Where can folks check out Old Wrestling or even get in touch with you in terms of social media?
Oh, sure. Old Wrestling, pretty simple. Twitter, it's Old with an E, so O-L-D-E, Wrestling. And then the same as Facebook, facebook.com, Old Wrestling. There's a lot of stuff. There's actually a 15% promo code off for everything in the store. So that includes like the most recent DVD, another extravaganza of wrestling exhibitions is the title of it. We just had it this past September. And then the two previous shows, the first extravaganza and the speakeasy show that, you, John, had commentated on. So I think, you know, and the speakeasy DVD is only $10. So then you take that 15% off. So try and keep the prices down to just like expand that audience. So, you know, Twitter and Facebook's probably the easiest way. Hopefully, in 2015, I'll mail out a newsletter because, you know, I love the post office so much. We talked about that earlier, trying to help the post office as much as possible.
Question, when you go in, do you go, what stamps do I want? Stamps do I want? Which ones? Do I want the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ones? Do I want regular ones?
That's what I asked the lady last night, and I got the Rudolph ones.
It's nice. Nice. Yep,
got the Rudolph. Yeah. So
I'm ashamed to admit that that's me. I would go in and go, what do I want? I don't want the American flags. This is so blasé. Yeah, I want.
Give me the NBA Legends one. Yeah, give me the Bill Walton one, please. And Wilt the Still. Give me those. I like those, please. But yeah, the other ways, you know, really to follow me is I've got a fan page for Marion Fontaine. I try and update, you know, with shows and things like that. Like this Saturday, I'm in Elyria, and then West Virginia's at the end of January, and then I've got some other shows, you know, in between there. And then on Twitter, it's under I always tell people my Bible name, Jay Notke. So that's Jnottke. So you can follow me on there. I think I mostly tweet. Probably right about now, this part of time is probably mostly about Christmas movies and the NBA, I think, are most of my tweets. There's probably some wrestling in there, too.
Are you a fan of the NBA?
Love the NBA. I every year I tell myself I'm going to get league pass, and I never do, and I get upset because I don't get it. So, because there's a plan where you can pick five teams that you want to watch all their games all year, and I'm like, oh, that's the package I'm going to get, and then I never end up doing it, and I'm like,
Who would be the five teams you would watch?
They would be some ebb and flow just based on, you know, how they're doing throughout the year, but number one is the Phoenix Suns. I don't know how I became a Phoenix Suns fan, but I'm a huge Phoenix Suns fan. Suns, you go Suns, Cavs, Bulls, Golden State, because they're doing really great. And probably I'd do Toronto this year, because Toronto is not surprisingly, but they've got a great young team, and they're aimed. I mean, I think they might have the best record in the East right now. So I think those would be the five this year to do.
Have you been to a Bulls game?
Not this season. I try and go. Yeah, I try to go at least one or two every season. So last time I went, Derrick Rose was out. I've seen Derrick Rose, I think, play twice, I want to say. There was one playoff game that I went to that he was at. So, but that had to be about, I think, two or so seasons ago. But, yeah, going there and hearing that intro, you know, that famous Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I need. Like, I can, like, get up out of my seat after that. I don't have to really watch the game. I can watch that from, you know, my TV. But, yeah, hearing that little, that intro is all you need.
It's like Real American, only, you know.
It is.
Spoken, you know? It is. You hear the first strums, you're like, oh, yeah. I gotcha. All right, well, with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to close up shop here. I'm going to, for my listeners that are listening, I'm going to throw to a quick break, if you will, and then I'll be back after that break to officially wrap things up, give you Orlando's phase, and talk about a few other things. But, hey, Mr. Fontaine, Mary Fontaine, the Handlebar Haberdasher, or the Megastar. See, I remember that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there he goes. Still going back a couple of years with the Megastar.
Whatever moniker you want to use, but
oh, there's a laundry list.
Is it?
There's a laundry list. For a while, Führer of Facial Hair. There's so many.
Wait a minute. Did you just say the Führer of Facial Hair?
Yeah, for a while I thought it would be. I mean, it wasn't like I was, you know, an actual Führer, but you know, it was like Cookie Duster, Sergeant. Wait, Lieutenant of the Lip Tickler, Sergeant of the Soup Strainer, Captain of the Cookie Duster. So, you know, anything with any kind of military, you know.
Yeah.
There's a laundry list.
Oh, man. That almost had me in tears. I'm not going to lie. That was funny. That was really funny. Well, anyways, Marion Fontaine, thank you for coming on the PVD cast. You'll have to come back on here and let us know when you get closer to doing another old wrestling show. It's been fun, man, so thanks.
Yeah, anytime, John. Thanks for having me.
All right. With that, folks, I'm going to throw it to break, and then I shall be back.
John Orlando, the host of the PVD cast, want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PVD cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio, it's the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the PVD cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Marion Fontaine. It was fun talking to him, and hopefully you found it interesting. Hopefully you found it entertaining. Hopefully you found it amusing. But let me know what you think. You know, the first time using this new technology to do long-distance podcasts, let me know what you think about it. I'm going to be honest and give my own opinion. I think I sound a little echoey. But I think Marion sounded crystal clear. But that's just me. And, you know, like I said, it's a learning process for this podcast. And I'm going to have to maneuver some things around and try some new settings and try a few new things and maybe get me a little bit clearer on my end. But, you know, you let me know. Let me know what you think. You can get in touch with me various different ways. One, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can tweet me. I'm on Twitter, @pvdmvp. And now, I'm even on Instagram. That's right, PVDMVP also at Instagram. Though, I'm just going to preface this by saying, I'm not much of a I got to take a picture type of guy. Like, I just don't take a lot of pictures. I never have. I don't know why. It's just something about me. I don't take a lot of pictures. So, I can't promise that the Instagram is going to be a huge, giant, like, cornucopia of awesomeness. I don't know. But definitely, those are the three ways you can get in touch with me: email, Instagram, or Twitter. And let me know what you think. With that, there's the music. There you go, that groovy sound. Yes, it's time for Orlando's Faves. All right, I'm going to clue you in, ladies and gentlemen, on a place that if you're a wrestling fan, you need to go. And I know there's two of them here in Columbus, but there's a spattering of them all around the Midwest. Ollie's Bargain Outlet. That's right. That's my fave for this episode. It is a place that has a lot of different discounted and irregular and all kinds of weird bargains of a variety of different products. But the reason why, as a wrestling fan, you need to go there is that they get lots of WWE DVDs, and they just liquidate them dirt cheap. Like, I picked up a couple of those Round Table DVDs, the 2004 Hall of Fame induction. Most recently, I picked up the Heart and Soul DVD, the Heart Family Anthology. And I got it for like $3. It's three discs. I got it for $3. Which, by the way, I did watch the documentary of that a couple of weeks ago, and it's okay. It's not bad. Overall, I think it's interesting. They talk quite a bit about the family. I would have liked to heard a little bit more about Stampede Wrestling myself, but overall, it's not bad. But if you have an Ollie's Bargain Outlet and you're a wrestling fan, you need to get over there and hit that DVD rack, because they have lots of great WWE stuff, dirt cheap. They've had WrestleMania 22 over there. They've had several different SummerSlams. Some of those compilations like the Best of Raw. Definitely check it out. If you're a wrestling fan, you want some cheap DVDs real quick, head on over there. All right, real quickly here, as I close things up, want to remind you of where you can get in touch or where you can check out some of the things we talked about, especially Marion Fontaine and old wrestling. You can head on over to @oldwrestling on Twitter or oldwrestling.com. And I suggest you do that. Seriously. You know, I'm always on here talking about independent ideas and independent things, no matter if it's wrestling or comics or movies or whatever. And this is certainly a prime example of just a really independent idea, a really creative idea, a really awesome idea, a fun idea. I could sit here for another 20 minutes and tell you how great it is, but I really think it's awesome. You should go check it out, oldwrestling.com, and that is spelled O-L-D-E, wrestling.com, or follow them on Twitter, @oldwrestling, and there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So with that, number 57 is in the books, ladies and gents. I want to thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.